come in here, it's real quiet. Everybody's tired from working, right? In the hot weather and all that, it's good. Just, I'll tell you, be tired if you do look at the news. So don't look at the news. It's crazy. We're a whole new world crazy. It's good. I'll tell you, a little funny to get us. We'll get then. We'll let Travis take over in about half hour. No, I was watching a sermon from a way back, not mine, but it was somebody else's way back, and I had talked to Tom about this, and if they couldn't turn the mic off when we're singing up here, all you hear is the guy that's standing up here. That's crazy. So you don't like that? I don't like that. So he's going to try to do that tonight. All right, let's go. I did talk with Preacher a little bit this week. The kids are having a great time. And just God's really blessing. Just up at the altar time after time after time. And just telling the preacher how that God's blessed them. And so just continue to pray for them. They'll be home on Friday night. All right, let's go ahead and take our songbook tonight. And let's turn to 58:5-8. Jesus, the very thought of thee. Everything's good. We'll get it all together. It's all good. All right, let's go ahead. Let's do 261. I know I can do that one right. 261.
Thank you.
253. 253. And we'll have the ushers after that. 253. 253.
Good evening. It's good to have Sherry back with us. All right, if you would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. I'm going to do a character study tonight on David. And so this really, I don't have a whole lot of order for the scriptures that we're going in, but I'm just going to give you some scriptures, make comment, and keep going. So if you listen fast, I'll preach fast, and we'll get done. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, it's good to be saved. And we thank you for a nice building, cool building to meet in. Thank you for the rain that you gave us yesterday. Would you please send some more? It's good to see Sherry here tonight. I pray that you continue to heal her, bless her. And Lord, meet with us right now. We need your presence, your guidance, your spirit. So send your spirit, fill me with it. And I pray that you would get glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we're looking at the life of David, there's more written about David in the Old Testament than any other character. If you look, Abraham has 14 chapters given to him. Abraham does. Joseph has 13 chapters. Jacob has 11 chapters. Moses has 40 chapters. And David is given 66 chapters in the Old Testament. 66. Does that ring a bell for anything? 66 chapters in the Old Testament. And he's mentioned in the New Testament 57 times, David. And that the word David, the name David, who knows what the name David means? Anybody? It means beloved. It means beloved. And that gives more meaning to me anyway in Matthew 3 and verse 17, where the Lord says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear ye him." But anyway, David, what I find amazing about the life of David, he has some characteristics about him that I want, and I think that this church, myself included, can use and we need. David was a nobody. He was a nobody that nobody noticed, except God. God noticed him. But he was the eighth son of Jesse, and we know that eight is the number of new beginning. And David arises from obscurity. And yet, he's the only man in the Bible that's called a man after God's own heart. That's in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. He's called a man after mine own heart. That's what the Lord said. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, look at verse 6. It says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And that's Samuel going to anoint, because the Lord told Samuel, go anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And of course, he didn't tell him which one. So Samuel goes and he sees the eldest son, and he says, that's got to be the guy right there. That's the one. And then look at the next verse. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, look at verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And see, I mean, it'd be nice if we could see someone's heart, but we can't. And the sad fact is, we look on the outward appearance most times. And sometimes we just need to go by faith. Sometimes we see certain people doing certain things, and we're quick to jump to conclusions on things. And here, Samuel said, this is the guy, this is the one. And the Lord says, that's not him. Don't look on his outward appearance. He says, the Lord doesn't see like we do. He looks on the heart. And so David, there was something about David's heart that the Lord saw, and that he noticed that got his attention. And in Acts chapter 13, not Acts 13, Isaiah 55, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Turn over to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and look down at verse 15. I think that we're going to be very surprised at the judgment seat of Christ. Not just about our own condition, our own self, whether we get rewards or rebuke or whatever we might have coming to us, but I think we're going to be surprised to see some of the saints that no one has noticed in the time period we're living in now. And the Lord says, you see that guy, you see that gal right there? They were my servant. That's who I had pleasure in. And, you know, I think we'll be surprised. Oftentimes, I know in years past, we would see some of the big names that would come in and speak. And that, and I'm not slighting them in any way. But oftentimes, the big names are not the big names with God. They're big names with man, but not with God sometimes. Now, not all the time. Like I said, I'm not slighting anyone that's been up here at all. I hope you understand. Luke chapter 16, and look at verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your what? God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And that verse has always been very peculiar to me, because we esteem some things, and sometimes I wonder if God even, if they're just an abomination to the Lord, the things which we hold up high, the things which we esteem high. And David was lightly esteemed. He was a nobody. Nobody noticed David except for God. And it's amazing. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 16 again. 1 Samuel 16. And we see that Jesse calls all of his sons except for one. Calls them all except for one. And then look at verse 10, 1 Samuel 16, 10. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But notice this thing wasn't just done. They didn't take him off into a room and anoint him. He's anointed in front of all the ones that were just passed over. Said, this is the one. And it's amazing. That's the way God is. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God can take the smallest, most insignificant person that we think in our mind and make something great out of them. And I hope there's something that I can get across to you tonight. It's one man or one woman and God are a majority. Never forget that. We see in this time, this turmoil, people are stopping, they're quitting church. They were looking for an excuse to quit church, and they found one with COVID. They stop coming to church. They stop being faithful. They stop. And one thing that we need to remember is don't give up, because God's with us. God's for us. And one man, one woman, and God is a majority. Don't worry about numbers. The Lord never was. You know, he had 12 disciples. That was his closest. And in the end, they all left him. They all forsook him and fled as sheep not having a shepherd. But it's amazing to me that David starts out as nothing, nobody, nowhere, nobody pays him any attention, and then he becomes the standard by which all other kings are compared. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings 15. Sometimes I wonder what God saw in David's heart, but look at 1 Kings chapter 15 and look down at verse 3. 1 Kings 15, verse 3, and it says, and he walked in all the sins of his father which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. But notice the thing, and you'll see this over and over again in the Old Testament when it's talking about kings. They say he did that which was right as David, or he didn't do which was right like David did. David's mentioned over and over again, and all the other kings are compared to David. To David, a nobody. That amazes me. But one of the things that I think that David had, there's a couple of things that David had that I think that we need, myself included. And the first thing that I think we see is faithfulness. David was faithful. Look over at Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and look down at verse 70. Psalm 78 and verse 70. Psalm 78, 70. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skill by the skillfulness of his hands. But David, God chose David and took him from following the sheep. And that's significant because you ever go on the Twin Bridges Road out this way and you'll see some sheep here and there. How many of you have ever driven by where the field is full of sheep? I don't think that was the case with David. I don't think that they had thousands of sheep. I think they had a few sheep. Because of what his older brother said, when David came to the battle and he saw everything was going, he says, "Who have you left those few sheep with?" You know. Now, he might have been insulting David, and I'm sure he was, because he knew David had been anointed in front of him. And maybe a little envious, just like Christ's brethren were envious of him. But there wasn't multitudes and multitudes of sheep that David had to take care of. It was just a few, but he was faithful in taking care of those few sheep. Matter of fact, not only was he faithful, he was willing to give his life for those few sheep. How do we know? He killed a lion and a bear, barehanded. So they caught him by the mane. Now that's some heavy stuff. This guy he was faithful to where he was willing to lay down his life just for a few sheep because he had a job to do. That was his job that had been entrusted to him, and he was willing to do it to the death. And God's given each one of us a job to do. How faithful are we in it? Look at 1 Samuel. Well, look, actually, Numbers, you don't have to turn to first. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, it says the same thing about Moses. Numbers 12 and verse 7, it says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." You'll find throughout Scripture that the men that God greatly used were faithful men, people that were faithful in their calling. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 22, 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And look down at verse 14. 1 Samuel 22. This is when Saul is chasing David, trying to kill him. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and look down at verse 14. It says, "Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who is so what? Faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house.'" And you know what happens to the guy? Saul winds up killing him, having him killed. But that was the guy says, "There's nobody as faithful as David in all your house." That stood out to this guy, that David was faithful. You know what the problem is today? You know why there's so few people coming? Psalm 12, verse 1. David says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." And we need to pray for help from God. Psalm 101 and verse 6, it says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." God's eyes are on the faithful, those that are faithful in what he has called them to do. And sometimes that can be the most difficult thing, is just to be faithful in what God has called you to do. But his eye is on you. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that the Lord will say to his servants. What will he say to them? He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He says, you've been faithful over a few things. He said, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Being faithful over whatever God's called you to do, whatever God has, whatever your lot in life is, to be faithful at it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. That means a lot to the Lord. We sing the song, well, one of my favorite hymns in the Bible, or in the Bible, in the hymn book, in the hymn book is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Oh, that's a good hymn. Great is Thy Faithfulness. He's been so faithful to us. We, at the very least, we can be faithful to Him. Coming to church, witnessing, reading our Bible, prayer, helping other people, talking to Him, being faithful in those areas. That's just, sometimes we, you know, it's like what Pastor Habman said, we just need to hear things over and over again, don't we? Because we forget. We need to be put in remembrance constantly. But David was faithful. That's one of the things that stood out about David. Why was he a man after God's own heart? He was faithful, number one. And here's the second one. David had courage. Now, sometimes we can be faithful and have no courage. And sometimes we can have courage and not be faithful. But I'll tell you what, you put those two together, being faithful and courageous. And that's what David was. He was faithful and courageous. Like I said, he was willing to give his life for those sheep. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look down at verse 34. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And then it's verse 37, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be what? The Lord be with thee. And that's key right there. Go, and the Lord be with thee. David, he had already risked his life for the sheep a couple different times. Those few sheep. And now he comes to the battle and he sees what's going on. And one of the things I know, David, when he sees the battle, he shouts for the battle. He's excited about it. He's got some excitement about him. But not only that, this thing, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, this thing with Goliath, that didn't just happen in one day. That went on for 40 days. Where Goliath is out there saying, give me a man that we may fight together for 40 days before David comes along. I've often wondered why that was. Maybe God was trying to give someone else a chance to stand up and be courageous. See, it was just David was a nobody. David was nothing. He was a youth when he went against Goliath. And yet he won. And it seems like we read the story and sometimes it seems like he didn't take any thought at all for his life. And I'm sure that he thought about that. Wouldn't you? I would have thought about it after I said it. I'm sure, like usually I do. And I'm going down there and I'm getting the 5 stones. Honestly, I don't even think David needed the stones or a sling. If he killed a lion and a bear by grabbing him by his beard, he could have done the same thing to Goliath. Because the Spirit of the Lord would come on him. He stood, and this is what we need. He stood when no one else would. He stood up for what was right. Sometimes we think that courage is the absence of fear. It's not. It's not the absence of fear. There's a saying that goes like this. Courage, now listen to this. Courage is armor a blind man wears. That callous scar of outlived despairs. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. That's good. That's what it is. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. You don't know what's going to happen. None of us are guaranteed of tomorrow. We don't know what's going to... There's going to be another pandemic coming. I can almost stand up here and prophesy and tell you something else is going to come on with probably sometime this winter, I would imagine. And what are we going to do? Are we going to tuck tail and run? We need to be courageous. Stand up for what's right. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17, look down at verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel, heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid. You know what that shows me? That shows me that the words can cause you to fear. And Saul was head and shoulders above anybody else in Israel. And he heard those words, and it put fear in his heart. That's why it's so important we have the Word of God in us constantly. See, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. And oftentimes, I think Christians nowadays, I think that our calling is to go and huddle together and hide, rather than get out there and interact, because the time is short. We need to take advantage. Thank God Pastor Haben has taken people out on the street up in Missoula, taking people in the float that Dan's going to head up and do some things there, going door knocking, the things like that. This church needs that. Amen. For too long we have huddled here and not gone out and done anything. And I understand why. You understand? I know the previous administration, I'm not talking presidential, was against that sort of thing. And it's hurt us. It's caused us to be cowards. We need some boldness. We need some faithfulness. And we need to be courageous. Not worry. David took his life in his own hands. I can imagine Saul, he thought that David was going to be a dead. He tried to put his armor on him. And David said, I haven't proved this. I can't wear this. Because he thought he was going to get hurt. David won the battle. He got the victory. And the only way we're going to get victory is if we show a little courage to go out and risk some things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we're too comfortable. We become too comfortable with our lives. We don't want to be disrupted. We don't want the routine to change. And that's going to kill us spiritually if we don't change up the routine. We got to get going on it. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and look at verse 31. 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now notice, David, he says, is there not a cause? He says, hey, why don't somebody go out and kill that guy? He comes up. This has been going on for 40 days. David's like, hey, somebody go kill that guy. And his brother chews him out. And he says, is there not a cause? And so, you know what that shows me? No one else was talking. Everybody else was just afraid. And then David shows up and he says, hey, it's time to get this guy's head taken from him. I like what Tony Shirley, I had never thought about that. You remember what Tony Shirley said? David told the Philistine he was going to take his head from him. He didn't even have a sword. But told him he was going to take his head. That's a gold nugget right there. I got a gold nugget out of that. That was good stuff. That was faith. David showed great faith in that. Look over at, look at verse 31. It says, when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. And you know what's going to happen? Listen, You know what's going to happen when you decide that you're going to get out and do something for the Lord? When you actually put feet behind the talk, you know what's going to happen? You are going to happen, and others are going to happen. Oh, you shouldn't do it like that. You probably ought not to do that. Now's not the right time. They're not ready just yet. I'm going to wait for a better time. And then we never do it. See, once we decide to start putting feet to it, and that's why, listen, I think that's why some of us are not going out and doing it. Number one, we're scared. We're afraid of what other people will think. You haven't done it before. It's always fearful. The unknown is always fearful. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. That is where the excitement is at, is in the unknown. You don't know what... Listen, I get up here and I can preach to you. I know what's going to happen pretty much, unless somebody walks through with a gun. Out there, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's exciting. I remember going up to the rescue mission. You talk about a ball of nerves before you get up and speak up there. Because you're dealing with people that are drunk, that are high, that want to start a fight. I've been through all that. It's exciting. I've got some stories to tell. Have you got any stories to tell? Have you got some stories to tell about how you were courageous? Now, I'm not talking about bragging on yourself, but some things that you know the Lord did for you. David knew the Lord delivered that Philistine into his hand before it happened. He believed it by faith. And we need to put some feet, some action. I love reading 1 Samuel 16, 7. I love reading that. Because, you know, you watch the... Have you ever, anybody ever seen a movie of David fighting Goliath? Okay. Not too many of you. I've seen one movie of David fighting Goliath. And here's how they depict David. He's running backwards, throwing stones at him. And he misses several times. That's not what happened. David didn't even have his gun loaded when he went to meet him. He loads it as he's running towards him. Now that's some boldness. That's some courage and confidence. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you know what happens when you start proving the Lord and you get some courage behind you? You get confidence in the Lord. That he's going to deliver for you. He's going to do something for you in this situation. It also causes you to pray more. Especially when you're out there. Listen, I know what it's like to go and knock on a door. And you knock so lightly because you're so afraid of somebody coming to the door and telling you to get out of here or make fun of you or ridicule you. But that is where the action is at. We need to get off our lees. We've been settled on our lees. That's what the Bible talks about, being settled on your lees for too long. And we can go out and we can win them. The Lord is with us. He'll help us. It says in Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Matter of fact, I want you to turn to this. I want you to look at it. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We know from past teaching, is waiting just sitting around doing nothing? No. What does a waiter do at a restaurant? They serve. Yeah, that's right. They work. They serve. Okay? So Psalm 27, look at verse 14. Now I want you to notice the order. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Notice the order of that. That's serving the Lord, or it might be waiting patiently. It might be waiting also, patiently, for the Lord. But then what's he tell you to do? The next thing, as you're serving, as you're waiting, what are you to do? Be of good courage. And then what happens? He'll strengthen your heart. You know what we want? We want the strength so we can be courageous. And the Lord says, "You be courageous, and I'll give you strength." He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be courageous. Try something new this week for the Lord. Something that you wouldn't normally do because you're too chicken to do it. Now that's a challenge. I've thrown down the gauntlet. See what happens. See if God strengthens your heart for being courageous. Not so you can make a show of yourself, but because you want to serve Him. He's worthy to be served. He's worthy to be all of our attention, all of our effort, He is worthy of. Try something different. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Listen, look around. You don't have to look very hard and see the evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse in the time which we're in right now. Look over at Psalm 64. Psalm 64. Psalm 64, and look down at verse 5. Psalm 64 and verse 5. It says, they, this is the world, they encourage themselves, what?
In
an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? But see, they're taking courage to do wrong. And all you got to do is turn on the news and you'll see that plain as day. Things that are going on in this country. It's time for the Christian, like David, to take some courage and get out there and interact. I think, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about being nasty, but I think that we are, oftentimes Christians try to be too polite because we're afraid of what somebody might think of us rather than be truthful. Speaking the truth, how?
In love.
Oftentimes we bite our tongue and not say anything when we should be standing up. I remember reading the story years ago about an atheist that got up in front of a huge crowd and was railing on Jesus Christ and making fun of him. And in that crowd, there was Christians all scattered throughout that crowd. And it took two teenage girls. And they got up and they started singing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Put the whole crowd to shame. Because nobody was saying anything. Putting this guy, we need to stand up and say something. I'm not talking politically. I'm talking for Jesus Christ. Stand up for the gospel. Tell someone that if they don't trust Christ, they're going to burn in hell for all eternity. And not blush, not be ashamed to say it. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. If your house was on fire, would you want someone to come? Excuse me. Your house is on fire. No, you'd want somebody, wake up! And oftentimes we're too kind, we're too polite to try to get some to talk to somebody. And there, that makes us a coward. Too worried about what they think or how they feel. David didn't care what his brother said. He said, is there not a cause? He didn't care what Saul said. He says, you're not able to do it. The king told him he was not able to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. The Lord be with you. And guess what? The Lord was with him. The Lord was. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We need some of that Holy Ghost boldness in us to get rid of. I can remember, I was telling Dan about Russell Wright. How many of you remember Russell Wright? He's been up here, he's preached in this pulpit, and that guy had a profound effect on me at 19 years old because he did like Havman did. He says, come out to Missoula. Columbia, Missouri. Come out, we'll preach on the street. You don't have to do anything. He said, you don't have to do anything. Just like Havman said. And I started laughing back there because I know better. Because I got out there, I think, okay, I'm going to watch. I want to see how this, I'm meticulous, you know. I got to see things go on, how it's supposed to be done. And, you know, and that way maybe I can attempt to do it. And he said, all right, get out there. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not doing it. Oh, yeah. He said, come on, man. And he made it so urgent, you know, that it had to be done because these people are going to be believing here. So come on, come on. And so I get out there and make a fool of myself. But I watched him also. And that guy had done that. I was 19. He had done it 10 years, faithfully. 10 years, street preaching every day. 10 years. You know he had some guts and some boldness. And I watched drunks. I would watch drunks come up and start giving him a hard time. And before it was over with, Russell Wright had his arm around that drunk, and the drunk's crying, and they're exchanging phone numbers. Boy, I'm telling you, he had something about him that I wanted. He had some guts, some courage, and he was faithful in doing it. And it had a profound effect on me as a young man. And listen, your faith, your courage can affect very many, not just in this room, all over this town. We just need some courage. Think about if that story about David wasn't in the Bible. There'd just be a big hole there, wouldn't there? David had the courage to go out and face the giant. I'm sure you say, was he afraid? It sure doesn't seem like he was reading the scriptures. It sure seems like he was super confident that he was going to win. We need some of that. We need to stop worrying about what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, and just go do. What if will come? It will come. We need to take some courage. Faithfulness and courage. Now, oftentimes we think, okay, I went door knocking this one time. Okay, that's enough. No, we need faithfulness in it. If you fish every day, you know what you're going to catch? You're going to catch fish. It's impossible to fish every day and never catch a fish, even if you don't have any bait. I have caught fish without bait on the hook. How many of you have ever done that? You remember the story over in 2 Kings chapter 6. A host had compassed the city with chariots and horses. And the servant says, alas, my master, how shall we do? And what's he say? You know what he says? He says, relax. He said, there's more with us than there are with them. And I'm here to tell you, it looks like the world has come unhinged. And evil is just spreading like wildfire. Christian, there's more with us than there is with them.
Yep.
The servant prayed? He prayed, Lord, what? Open his eyes. And when the Lord opened his eyes, what did he see? Chariots all around him. Horses all around him. There's more with us. We can't see it. We can't see it. The Lord was with him. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. We got to move here. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 18. 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. It says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. Now finish it with me. And the Lord is with him. And I want to get that. That's my last point tonight. The Lord was with him. How was David a man after God's own heart? How was David faithful? How was David courageous? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. You know what says that seven times? The Lord was with David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 12, it says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." 1 Samuel 18, 28, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David." 2 Samuel 5 and verse 10, "And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him." 2 Samuel 7 and verse 3, "And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Over and over again, seven times, you see that the Lord is with David. Same is true with Moses. Moses said this, and he says, the Lord says this to Moses. He says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." That was Moses. You know, it says in Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Genesis chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, "And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." Joshua chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, "So the Lord was with Joshua." Judges chapter 1, verse 19, "And the Lord was with Judah." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him." 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 7, "And the Lord was with him." Talking about Hezekiah. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 20, "And Phinehas the son of Eleazar was the ruler over them in time past, and the Lord was with him." 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Acts chapter 11, verses 20 and 21, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Say, what are you saying? Well, he says in Hebrews 13, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee." Where is the Lord? He is with you. He's with you. We have no reason not to be faithful or not to be courageous, because we've got the God of David. And he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know the last thing the Lord said before he left this earth? You know what he said? He said, "And lo, I am what? With you always, even to the end of the world." He said, "I'm with you. I'm with you." I read over in Genesis chapter 28. Remember when Jacob fell asleep and he dreamed and he saw the ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that thing. And he woke up, and you know what he said? He said, "Surely the Lord God was in this place and I knew it not." Surely the Lord God is in this place, and there's times when we don't know it. There's times we don't realize it's the Lord that's the one that's doing the working. Because oftentimes we go by sight. Just like Samuel said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointing." The Lord says, "I'm not looking on the outward, I'm looking on the heart." And you know, the Lord is in this place, folks. In this place right now. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You know what we need to do? It's just like what Pastor Habman said. Just like with the missionary, this last missionary that came in, they're going out two by two. He's going to help a missionary. Get someone you like. Maybe get someone you can help, or get someone you can learn from. And say, "Let's go do it." Will you have some courage to do it? You'll talk yourself out of it. I have many times. I've talked myself out of it. Look over a couple more spots. Look at Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." What excuse are we going to have for not doing anything when the Lord is right here, right now? It's like we think that we're going at it alone sometimes. You ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're going at it alone because you can't feel the presence of the Lord? Does that mean He's not there? No. We walk by faith, not by feelings, not by sight, not by emotions. We walk by faith. Job chapter 9, look down at verse 8. Job 9 and verse 8. He says, "Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I what?
Perceive him not."
You know who said this? This is the guy that the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the whole earth?" And this guy is saying, "He passes by me, and I see him not. I don't even perceive him there." And oftentimes that's the way we can be. We can say, "I'm just going it alone. I'm just trying to hang on for dear life." And we don't even realize, surely, the Lord is in this place. And I what? Knew it not. Job. If we know that the Lord is here, if we believe that, how many of you believe the Lord is here? How many believe that the Lord is with you when you walk out these doors and when you go to the job the next day? If that's really the case, if we really believe that, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What's stopping us? Fear. You know what we need? We need some faithfulness, and we need some courage, and we need to constantly remember that He's with us. The Lord is with you, Christian. He's not going to leave you. And if you just by faith step out and prove Him this week, watch what happens. Say, "What if I make a fool of myself?" So what? We're fools for Christ's sake. You keep doing it though, and I promise you, you're going to get results. You're going to get fish. You're going to get excited. And if every one of us, including myself, in this room, and there's not a big group here tonight, if the ones that have heard this tonight actually start putting it into practice, faithfulness and courage, and knowing that the Lord is with you, and going out, we will pack this place out. It's just going to take some stick to it, faithfulness and courage. And you'll have some stories to tell. All right, let's pray. Lord, help each one of us. Oh God, we need to be faithful. We need courage like David. Help us to realize and to know that You're ever with us, that Your presence is here, that You said You'll never leave us or forsake us. God, help us to take courage. I pray that You would help us to read Your Word, to pray, to think of someone that we can go talk to, witness to, and make a fool of ourselves for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us tonight. Help us this week, God. Help us to, by faith, take a step and to prove You and to rely on You and trust You and to get souls saved. Bless now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 397. 397. page 397.